Hi, welcome to the big show. Yeah, I keep looking for a camera. It's a little tiny hole I can barely see because the lights are blinding me. Welcome to the big show. Yeah, it's the end of a busy week and we're going to have a little show just talking about all the big stories in tech that have gone on. It is a COVID-19 virus free zone. So we're not going to do anything. Sorry if that's wiped in your story out, but we're not going to do about that because there's enough of that in the news. There's enough depression and can't be doing with it. We're going to talk positively about tech, or we're going to slag all the tech off that other people are making. That's the thing. Joining me, absolutely stunning panel. Brilliant group. Start us off, top left, Mr. Gamut. How the bloody hell are you, boy?
I am doing wonderful because I'm here with you and all of these awesome people.
Oh, excuse me. That's lovely, mate. Thank you ever so much. What's been happening since we last saw you on the Mac show?
Since you last saw me on the Mac show, I think there was a fight outside. It sure sounded like it.
Oh, wow. They didn't practice social distancing then, or was it just standoff?
I couldn't see the people. So I don't know how close they actually were. We have an unfortunate situation where we have a fairly large homeless community around here.
Right.
And with the current circumstances, there's a lot of people that are part of that community that have no place that they can safely go.
And there's mountain lions in the street.
And so, occasionally, some fights are breaking out, and it sure sounded like it got pretty ugly for a couple people earlier.
Okay. Good, man. Yeah. Stay hidden. Well worth it.
I'll stay hidden and I'll stay out of the path of the mountain lions.
Good. Next to him, Callum from IMN Max, our fine supporters. How the devil are you, mate?
Not too bad. I'm okay. I'm trying to keep busy, but yeah.
Doing training, you said. Now, what courses have you done?
Just brushing up on some networking, so it isn't something that I do kind of day in, day out, but something that does come up relatively regularly. I just want to brush up on it and do a bit of a refresher on it. So,
mate, you can rewire my outside house because I told the guy that came and fitted our back room floor that the cable that was there was only speaker cable. It turns out it was the internet cable for the room. So I'll need that fixing.
No good.
Whoops.
Yeah. Next to him, Mr. Bloody Ashley, how the devil are you?
I'm doing great, my man. How's everybody else doing?
Oh, I missed you, brother. How's things been?
Been great, man. You know, I work from home every day, so it's not that much different for me. My daughter's holding up like a champ. I feel for folks that have younger kids where they have to entertain them more. Yeah. My daughter's pretty self-sufficient with that. And yeah, man, still working out, still grinding, getting stronger, sore as hell.
And a bit of a DTNS appearance last week.
Hey man, I had to go stop in and see the other homies and hang out with that crew.
Did you pass on my regards to Mr. Merritt?
I did.
We haven't seen him for ages. He hasn't been on this podcast or the Mac show for a very long time.
That dude stays busy, but we had a great time over there too, and of course a great time on my joint. So yeah, man, so I'm happy to be here because it's been a couple weeks. So
excellent, and he's growing, isn't he? He's got a little network going now.
He does.
Doing well. I need to have a chat, catch up with him because I miss him. I haven't seen him for such a long time.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. And someone else who's wonderful, Patrice, because you fixed our security certificate before we started.
Well done, girl. I did. Yeah. I actually went on a walk before, so I'm very happy now.
About 10 minutes after you fixed our security certificate and all the room were complaining about the siloing in audio. I wished you hadn't fixed the security certificate so that they couldn't bloody watch. Grumbling arseholes.
I can always break it again. Yeah. That's easy.
I love the fact everyone's really hypercritical over this free stuff that we give away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they write things on your iTunes reviews that are personally insulting. Watch on the free stuff happens that you're giving away.
What happens?
The week in tech, all the big stories. Who's got the first story of the week? Who's going to kick us off with something that's worth talking about? Blimey, a bit slow this week. Patrice is in first. Well, hey.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
So,
God, the internet's slow.
I mean, I almost didn't pick this story because I didn't want to talk about anything COVID related. But then I saw this and I was like, okay, let's do it. So I think we talked about the police robot the other, like either last week or week before.
Oh yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So if you're probably in the US or somewhere and all of a sudden you're seeing more and more robots around, this might be why. There's a company called Starship Technologies. And they have started a robot food delivery service in my favorite town in Tempe, in Arizona. And apparently they're going to roll this out to other locations as well soon. So
see, I don't have a problem with talking about this kind of stuff, although it's been triggered by the virus, because this is mm-hmm. what's going to be left after the virus.
It would have happened anyway. I mean, maybe slower, maybe like it would have taken 10
years. You didn't develop this thing in the 4 months since the WHO said this is a real serious issue. So, I mean, tell us about this vehicle, because it looks cool. It looks a bit Black Mirror, doesn't it? But
it definitely does. I mean, it can carry up to 20 pounds in food, which is a lot. I mean, not gonna lie. I mean, for the average family in Arizona, it's probably not.
That's probably okay for one order. Person, isn't it? For an apartment, person in an apartment, right? Maybe two.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be a family of four.
Exactly, 20 pounds. Yeah. No, I've seen some really big orders for like two people. So, since like me and my wife, we delivered food in Glendale area. Actually, we did that in Tempe once too. So, but I mean, Arizona seems to be a proving ground for a lot of like robots and like tech like this. And I think it's because like the weather is so nice there. I mean, and it gets a little hot in the summer, but other than that, I mean, there's barely any rain or snow or anything. So, like, the tech doesn't have to deal with too much. And I mean, heat doesn't really make much of a difference.
It's the dust usually, isn't it, that gets in that's the trouble?
The dust is a bit of a problem, but I mean, that's a solved problem. Like, all cars deal with that every day. It's like, yeah. But as I said, like, I mean, they look really cool. I mean, the guys or people on the audio stream probably can't see it. It looks, I don't know what to compare it to. It almost looks like a small, like, Mars rover of some sort.
Yes. Yeah, like
six wheels.
You should be able to see people's faces in the in that scanner on the front.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a window, like a windshield. Yeah, exactly. They're cute. I think they're small enough to like get around and like get almost everywhere. Especially in Arizona with a lot of like single story houses where they can literally drive up to the front door and deliver. I mean, I think this is pretty cool.
Tom has joined us in the chat room from California, and he mm-hmm. has seen your little buggy and raised you California's home delivery service. There we go.
Wow. Okay.
It's
that's a big version of that.
It's got a blue light on the top. So whether it responds to emergency calls as well as, I don't know.
Emergency supermarket deliveries.
That bigger one that's being used in California.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the startup pitch for this at CES a few years ago.
Right.
It was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And now here it is. It's being used.
Well, that one is the Black Mirror. That one is the Black Mirror kind of vehicle, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That did pizza delivery with heated pizza trays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, like you said, this is coming anyway. So. It's an inevitable technology, but I still fear that there's going to be interaction issues because I can't see how these things are going to avoid vehicles necessarily. Forget the pedestrians because they're probably not moving fast enough to upset the pedestrians. But
there are no pedestrians in Arizona.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
No, yeah, no, I mean, the story says, they basically use sidewalks. I mean, they can cross streets, so I'm guessing they can somehow detect other vehicles and stuff. They can climb curbs. They can travel at night. apparently they can operate in rain or snow, but I mean, I want to see that because, I mean, Jeff could probably tell you. Like,
I have a hard time imagining these would be able to handle a lot of the snow we get.
And the Texas version has got a 357.
And that was my main concern. Like, as long as they keep these things unarmed, then I'm cool.
Oh, mate, you could see this thing being made out of titanium or something like that in some of the wilder states because of the fact that it's going to get absolutely buckshot all over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, for that reason, you know, just the safety, I'd like to see more tech like this, you know, because it's too many stories of these accidental shootings. So if they can take away that human part of it and just, you know, at least handle the investigation or the initial looking up something or checking in on something. You know, even you've heard cases of where it was a welfare check. Somebody hadn't heard from somebody in a week and they send the police over to check on that person and they end up shooting that person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can send a robot in to do the welfare check. Like, oh yeah, and I'm fine. I'm here. And you speak to the robot and the camera and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually pretty cool from my perspective.
So you're saying you want to see law enforcement use this kind of technology as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in the, you know, in some of these smaller type deals where you can just, like I said, like a welfare check or, oh, there's something going on in here. Or maybe there's a homeless person or, you know, somebody that's maybe mentally challenged and you send a robot in and, you know, just to kind of assess
the situation.
Yeah,
that's not going to spook him.
Well, but better than that, then he, you know, end up, you know, getting shot to death. So, you know, I don't know. You just kind of use it for these initial vests. It maybe kind of calm the situation because a lot of times these guys go in way too hot. You know what I mean? And if you could just better allow them to assess the situation, you know, maybe they can better go in and, you know, with a cooler head.
They can, I mean, since they can work, probably almost 24 hours. I mean, minus, I'm guessing a battery swap or like a charge. I mean, they can probably even service a pretty big area. I mean, why not?
I would have thought the battery efficiency is good.
Yeah. Only assessing situation. I don't want them making decisions. We got a whole
So you're stopping just short of RoboCop then?
Exactly.
You're no fun, actually. Don't come anymore. Yeah. Now you're a mainstream journalist on DTNS, mate. That's...
Yeah, Tom actually brings up a good point. I mean, he says we already have enough trouble navigating around Waymo cars, which also are in the same area, actually. Now we'll have these things running up and down the sidewalk. And graffiti taggers will have a field day. I mean, especially given that they're all white.
Won't be white for long.
No.
Goodbye. I mean, canvas.
In Arizona, they wouldn't be anyway because of the dust, so they would be yellow pretty soon. But yeah, it's like, no, that doesn't work.
But it does show it on the road. If you scroll further down the article from Tom, it does show it on the road rather than the footpath. So
okay,
that would be interesting.
So Arizona is way behind the curve because this is a video of exactly the same thing being used already in Milton Keynes. Starship food delivery robots in Milton Keynes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a picture of a girl carrying a dog, and I thought it was like a fluffy toy, but it's not. It's a real dog, the poor thing.
Poor dog.
Get around the neck.
Yeah, she's dragging it behind her.
Here we go. Here it is. These things are tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're... It
lifts
the
front, it lifts the front up so that it can turn.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I'm watching the video of the people trying to steal the contents from the robot.
Oh, where is that on the main page?
No, Deeppan dropped the video in.
Oh, is this the YouTube one that I'm playing?
They're pretty cool, actually. I like the design.
There's that little girl chasing it, and the thing's stopping every time she gets close to it for safety. You want a voice recorder to come out. Kid, piss off.
Yeah. Oh, that's one thing. Those robots are remotely monitored. So, like, if something happens, they'll probably send the police.
And you need to add foot pegs to these things so I can catch a ride between buildings. Mm-hmm. If I work on a big campus like that, just go ahead and hop on one real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool.
Got to check the weight limit, though.
We tried to rob a delivery robot. Pounds.
We tried to.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like that.
DoorDash. Oh, right. They're doing this in Northern California as well as?
Hmm.
Insulated pouch. Hot food, cold food. From the restaurant. Yeah, I can see that, because the thing is, everyone, the world is wife is going to dive onto this to try and make money out of it. So these things are going to be, they've got to provide their own taxiway now for these things. Otherwise, it'll be a complete nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a problem. Oh, you've got a government subsidy for bike lanes. You've got a government subsidy for food delivery automats.
Yeah. There will be a robot lane.
Couldn't you just pick it up and steal it?
Well, the whole thing, the people
from BuzzFeed that do the video where they try and steal stuff from it, they started by just running up, picking it up, and running away with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is more relatively heavy, but yeah, you could probably do it.
If you're planning to rob it, I don't know why you would. You could just pick it up and put it in the back of a car and just drive off.
Well, it's going to be geo-tracked, isn't it? So there's going to be...
Yes, they say down to the inch.
Yeah. Mm. Otherwise, it couldn't navigate anyway. So
exactly.
It's got to know where it is. Plus, also, do you really want to run the risk of being pulled over by the cops for stealing someone's baked beans? I mean, you got to make it worthwhile.
I'm pretty sure people are going to...
When they start moving around diamonds in these things, yeah, fine. Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
with the way people are.
Those would be the ones with the guns, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
The company that makes these things says that more than 4 million people have been exposed to the robots, and they have had a single instance where someone will try to steal something from one of them.
Not yet.
Yeah, what
name?
Yeah,
but they're just not going to the right neighborhoods.
Right, because if they're in a bunch of affluent areas, then of course. Change that demographic up, it's a wrap.
Tempe is pretty, like, I mean, it's a lot of students, but like a lot of money.
I know if I was hungry, I'm definitely looking inside.
Mm.
Well, that's one of the fun things about, you know, the fun things to think about when you talk about this whole situation is just all the tech that, you know, are going to be forced into the forefront, all the new things. We talked about last week how they're coming up with these, this one company was making a wristband and then they modified it to kind of alert people when they're bringing their hands to their face to stop, you know, to remind them to keep their hands away from the face and, you know, stuff like that. So that part has got me super interested. And I would definitely order, because there's a local Asian restaurant right here that I love their General Tso's tofu. I would definitely order it if it came in and had them delivered in this thing. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom has also managed to find a story for us of a man in Mountain View who has been arrested for a scuffle with an automated greeting robot.
You know, I appreciate that Tom is doing all the research for us. This makes it so much easier today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 300 pound.
We didn't do anything.
It's a 300 pound robot that's on two wheels, and he's knocked it over in inverted commas. It says he was drunk, and that when you read the story, he fell over it. It wasn't a scuffle. That's journalism's crap at the moment. I have to say, journalism is absolutely bloody rubbish at the moment. Tell the truth or shut up. Please.
Well, do they have a video of him like Tom kicking it or something before he fell over? Or...
Oh, I don't know.
Since Tom is from Mountain View, was that him? said why he knows that.
I don't know, Tom. I've only seen him on video once, and I've only seen his picture a couple of times, but he doesn't look like he's got he's got the chops to knock over some at 300 pounds.
No, he doesn't. I've met him twice. He's a really nice guy. And no.
Yeah.
He's not the guy for that.
A smaller member of the team. Good story, mate. Who's got the next story then? Jeff G.
Wow.
He says he needs a confirms on the dice.
that wet through is 150. Jeff, talk us through yours. Google now offers a Braille keyboard for Android.
Yes, Android is becoming more accessible now because this keyboard, it's a software keyboard, so it's not like you have to wait for companies to start making new phones.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually have the Braille keyboard on the screen and start using it as soon as you get the update, which I guess for some people means when they buy a new phone, because not all carriers roll out the updates. But the whole idea of having a Braille keyboard that vision impaired people can use directly on the device without having to go out and buy a really expensive add-on to me is great.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to see this happen. I mean, especially since this is something that's been available on iOS for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that Android's catching up, and I'm not looking at this as a haha, Apple did it first thing, but instead, I'm looking at it as this is great. Our devices are becoming more accessible to mm-hmm. a wider range of people, and that's a really good thing.
Yeah, everybody wins.
Yes, and also I wanted to find a more of a feel-good story for this week, as opposed to something that that was just going to bring us down. And and I thought, hey, more accessibility. Great. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Is this something like they are just rolling out and like do developers have to do anything to implement it, or is it built into the system?
I'm sorry for being...
I think it's at the system level.
Okay, cool.
I need to watch the video on this because there's a bit of me's got me... This is stupid on my part, and I mean no offense by the way that I say this, but there was a Not the 9 o'clock News sketch years ago, which was a comedy show on BBC2, and a guy said this man can't hear the phone ring, so here at X Technologies we've created this lamp that will tell him when the phone's ringing. It was actually a band around the guy's head with a big boom on the front and a little tiny LED, and the phone started ringing, and he looked at it and he was like, oh, the phone's ringing. So he went over to the phone, and I'm sitting there going, what a bloody marvelous idea, that is fantastic. And then he picks the phone up and goes, hello. Hello. Because he's dead. And you're like, oh my god. And there's a bit of me sitting looking at this story, Jeff, and going, hang on, how do they know where the things are on the keyboard? Because there's no, because the whole point of Braille is that it's sensory, isn't it? You're getting feedback on your fingertips, so how are they doing that so they know where to press?
That's actually a really good question.
Thanks,
and
man. I don't feel so bad.
I mean,
now.
Seriously, it's a really good question. And I have the answer for you.
Oh, good.
So the Braille layout is designed so that where you would feel the nubs standing up, you'll get the audio feedback that you get from any other part of the interface that supports visually impaired people. So so like the people that I know that need to use the VoiceOver or TalkBack or whichever platform you're on to be able to navigate their device, I mean, they can turn the screen off completely and still navigate faster than you or I can, being able to see the interface. And it's because they have the audible cues. Mm-hmm. And so knowing how the keyboard layout is set up, they can basically thumb type Braille and probably type at least as fast as mm-hmm. you or I could. And because they are so attuned to the audio cues that they get from their device, even with this Braille keyboard, they could turn the screen off and still be able to use the keyboard and do other typing. It's all about being able to hear.
Hmm. I love the fact that these software companies work hard to make sure that they have accessibility in their devices. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize, no one ever realizes, right? Because you just go about your everyday life. But I remember I got stuck in Canada because the last flight got canceled, me and my coworker. And he was actually, he's a hard of hearing. He has two hearing aids. But he said the problem is for him is he can't do wake up calls and he can't do, alarms because he can't hear them unless his earpieces are on. So he says, basically, I got to stay up and just watch the clock to make sure I don't miss my flight. And I was like, man, I'll stay up or I'll use my alarm and I'll come get you. And he's like, yeah, but you're gonna knock on the door and I won't be able to hear you knock on the door.
Oh right.
I'm like, oh my God, I can't help you.
That, yeah.
Short of you sleeping in the in the same hotel room as me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, what a challenge. And so he basically stayed up all night. Until the next morning and went straight to the airport and then caught his flight because he didn't want, obviously it was a Saturday at this point. That was the last flight out till Monday. So he didn't mm-hmm. want to miss his flight. So I was just like, wow, man, you just never really think about those type of things until mm-hmm. you're confronted with them. So I really like that these guys are doing stuff to accommodate folks.
If you were wondering about the video that I just mentioned, Batwinch has posted the video from Not the 9 o'clock News in the chat room. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can scroll down to around 2034 and the link will be there, big long one. And it's a great video. Mm. Guys, bookmark that and have a watch of it later because it is hilarious.
Yeah, I really like that also the software companies find non-intuitive ways of dealing with it. I mean, you have a touch screen. I mean, as you said, you have a touch screen display. So like Braille doesn't work like it normally would. They still find a solution that will work.
Yeah.
So I think that's like really good and like something that's probably not as easy as I mean, we look at it and we're like, oh yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. But it probably took someone a lot of like thinking and time and talking to people to figure out how to do it so it actually is useful. Because I mean, yeah, you could probably invent something, but is it actually doing anything for people who need it?
Yeah, no, it's
yeah. I mean, I
we need someone who's blind to. We've got some blind listeners because I've had mm-hmm. I've gone off for a beer with a couple of them. So it's have a review of this if you've got an Android phone. Anyone that's listening that's blind, and write us a review, and we'll stick it up on britishtechnetwork.com.
Oh yes, please.
That'd be great.
I can only recommend, like, even if you're like normal seeing, go into your settings and enable accessibility and just play with it a little bit. It is really interesting to understand how different it is and how it works, and it might actually help you at some point in your life. Like, you might be in a situation where I don't know, something happens and you need it all of a sudden.
There's a lot of those, there's the features that you can get in iOS particularly macOS where they're just good features. They're not, it's not mm-hmm. about accessibility. They're just good features to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we said go ahead.
Go on, Cal.
No, the Zoom feature is always handy. Yeah, I use that quite a bit because obviously mm-hmm. My eyes are absolutely fine, but you do look at things, think even people with good sight probably look at things and go, that's a bit smaller, assistive touch on iPhones as well, that's very, fairly handy because obviously you have phones with home buttons that don't work and stuff like that. So, it's always handy stuff there that I use. So, it's definitely worth having a play if you haven't had a play with it. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Good story, Jeff. Completely free as well, which is nice.
Yes.
Anyone else got a story? Oh, look at that. The two boys in, fast as you can, but Chris wins out. Now, this one's interesting because you're going to talk about Teams, which has actually come under quite a bit of pressure from Zoom through this period, hasn't it?
Well, until Zoom started letting everybody hack in and join other people's meetings.
Oh, they've kind of fixed that now, so.
Yeah, they did, but they're still getting banned in different schools and a different, because I don't know what they were thinking with AES encryption. However, Microsoft Teams is exploding in uses, and it's just, it's, we've completely, where I work, dropped Skype and have gone 100% Teams now. Customers that I've talked to are looking for more support around applications to help them deploy Teams faster. So even with Zoom out there, man, this thing is blowing. And the fact that, what's the other application like Teams that came out first?
Slack.
Slack added the ability to launch a Teams meeting through Slack. that Teams is doing its thing. So, but one of the things that I recognize that, and they're ramping up new features in the product, and some of the features they announced that they're adding, pretty cool. But there's a couple of them in here that really interest me. So one of the things they're talked about on the lower end is like custom backgrounds, so you can add backgrounds to the different chats that you're in, which is cool. Making it a little bit more personal. A raised hand feature, which I'm sure in a lot of cases would work well, but me and my coworkers, we're always talking over each other anyway, so that part doesn't really so much matter. But the first one that I came across in this list is the end meeting, and I can't tell you how many times I've walked away from a meeting and it ended and I forget that the meeting's still going, and maybe an hour later I'm still in the meeting. So with the end meeting feature, the moderator or the host will be able to just end the meeting for everybody, much like
every other Zoom service.
Exactly, right. Yeah. The other ones do. So I'm glad that they're adding that.
I'm surprised they didn't do that before.
Yeah, it's funny when you develop in software and you're like, there's so many features. You're like, this is obvious, but for whatever reason, you just can't get it in, at the right time because other obvious features take precedence. So I tend to be a little bit softer on when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, that's
funny. And having a participant report, pretty cool, letting people understand who were in their groups, in their meetings. But the biggest one is the real-time noise suppression. This is the one that interests me the absolute most because I thought I was just weird where I cannot stand to listen to people chew on the microphone. It like physically makes me angry. And
understandable.
Yeah. It turns out it's a real disease. So, or a condition, if you will. I just cannot listen to people chew on microphone when I'm gaming. I can't tell you how many people I've booted out of my gaming parties or blocked on Xbox because they just refuse. They think I'm joking. And they're like, oh, just keep gnawing on chips. And it strikes me in a way that I just can't take it. So they're actually using AI to block out the background noise and specifically like people chewing in their microphones. And this is something that really interests me. And I hope they bring it to the Xbox as well. And then the other thing is, which I've seen for the first time in Skype, is the blurring of the background. So when I did the show on DTNS, I didn't even notice it until I looked at the feed, and I was like, oh my God, my office is blurred out, and it's really just focused on me. Well, they're adding this to Teams as well. So some pretty cool updates coming for this. I don't know how many other folks are ramping up on Teams as well, but this is kind of huge for me.
I really hope they will also figure out the really clicky keyboards. That's one of my words.
That is one that they talked about too. They actually did mention keyboard clicking.
There is quite a lot of IT.
I suppose
departments.
I should just offer my blanket apology for my keyboard right now.
Oh, your keyboard is okay. Like it,
no,
it's
that's,
really
I have a technique for typing on it when I'm on a call or a podcast. But if I actually type like normally.
Oh yeah, you can hear that.
Oh, that's my kind of keyboard. God, that's my kind of keyboard.
Dog barking, loud typing. And I know they.
Oh no! The Dell keyboard I used to have would have drowned out any dog. It would have drowned out a bloody dog next to me, let alone one.
Yeah. I'm also very happy about all the like the background like background features and blurring and so on, because I think that's, I mean, it's something we probably don't think about as much, but I mean, if you're like, if you have less money or you're living in like poorer conditions or even poorer countries, that can be like a bit of a stigma for some people, that they don't want to, like, they don't want you to see like how they're living.
Sure.
And like those features allow you to do that.
Yeah, I hate
plus it looks more professional.
Clean up my office every time I join the podcast.
yeah, exactly. So it's a good feature. I'm really happy.
Also, the reason why my mic is muted and I use push to talk is because of that barking dog. The other dog is very loud.
Yeah, no.
Try and be courteous.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of IT departments, though, are just dead set against Zoom now. They're just not interested in enabling it for their staff at all. Huge.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Because of the mis-selling of the end-to-end encryption, which isn't.
You make a mistake. I mean, it's rightfully so, right? You make a huge mistake. You mismarket your technology. And yeah, who's going to be the one to say, yeah, I decided to go ahead and use that technology anyway after we found out, and then something bad happened. You can't put your name on it.
I'm going to speak up for Zoom in one case. The IT departments, they should have known, because there is a security white paper out there and they actually detailed it. So I mean, yeah, their marketing material was crap, but like an IT department who should, if they're security conscious, should look at the security white paper, like how does it actually work, should have seen that and should have understood that.
Well, which is why a lot of them kind of surprised.
I'm surprised that a lot more people got bit by that. You're actually right, because I know even when I'm talking to customers about the software that I manage, they really want to know, like, you know, how's it built? How's the communication? Does it fit into their security model? I've got customers asking me, how often do you review the code and look for vulnerabilities and stuff like that? So it is kind of shocking that this was overlooked by so many companies, but oftentimes the price of something tends to outweigh, the sensibility of using it.
It's probably a combination of different things. I mean, it's for one, sometimes people making decisions without consulting anybody, like the CEO simply looks at it, or someone tells the CEO, even says, hey, this app is cool. He tries it and he's like, okay, we're using this, and the entire company has to use it and nobody ever checked it.
That happens a lot.
Stuff like that. And then, I mean, the average people, or like the smaller companies, the smaller teams that simply don't have maybe the skills or don't have the time or like, don't think about security in that way. I mean, I don't blame those people. Like in order to be able to read to understand it properly. So that's, as I said, I blame Zoom for messing up their marketing and marketing it wrong. But as I said, for bigger companies that have proper IT departments, they should have known better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's their job to filter it out and be the experts.
Exactly.
Let their people down with that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you get as well, though, is don't forget that a lot of your IT departments are risk averse. So if someone says do something, they go, yeah, okay, no, we're not doing that because it's insecure. And they're like, well, okay, there's no estimation of risk about that. It's just, no, it's insecure, so we're not doing it. And a lot of companies have fallen foul of the fact that they ducked away from something because of a risk-averse quality in the IT department and ended up missing out. An awful lot of companies do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you, like, our company is not using Google, like any Google products, for example, no Google Sheets or anything like that. And we don't have any replacement for it. Like, it's simply because they looked at it and they said, we don't like that it's hosted in the US. And that's it. Mm. No further thought, no further, okay, let's find an alternative. Like, nope, not doing it.
So how do you manage shared documents, or do you have shared documents?
We do. You email them, and you have a 250 megabyte email inbox. So you can think about that a little bit. How does that work?
Wow.
Literally, okay. How that works. Yep. Yeah. So as I said, it's an example, and I've heard that from other companies, so we're definitely not the only ones.
It's amazing how I've spoken to a lot of companies that have those same restrictions, and then over the years they start to relax those restrictions because, you know, they either want to jump on board with the technology, or finally somebody said, listen, this is the way it goes. Figure out a way after the fact to secure it. But I know that, you know, with GDPR, you know, data cannot leave the country. So, you know, Microsoft even had to do a lot of stuff with their cloud storage to make sure, you know, data can stay. We've had to do things like that. Mm-hmm. But I was actually shocked, you know, how fast people turned around, because Microsoft's mantra is overall, right, is they look at this new wave and of how things are going with hosted environments, and they really want to open it up to where end users can do a lot more up front, as opposed to on the back end. So before, you know, IT administrators would set up all these guardrails to stop them from doing something unless it followed this pattern of A, B, C, D. Okay, it's approved, then you can go ahead and do it. And now Microsoft is kind of like, let them do it and just manage it once it's done, you know, on the back end. That way you give them the freedom and you free up your time to putting all these things in place. So it's kind of a weird thing. And what you see is the folks that have been in IT for years and years and can't make the pivot, they'll look for things to help them put those guardrails in place. Whereas the ones that can make the pivot or are younger in the game are like, oh, this is the way it goes. We'll do it on the back end. So this whole dynamic shift of IT management is really been pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah. And I mean, what also happens in a lot of companies is that simply tools like that, they just seep in. Like someone starts using it, whether they're allowed to or not, like, you know, someone thinks it's a good tool, a good idea. And then more and more people start using it. And eventually, like, someone has to say, okay, either we stop it now or we just accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. That happens a lot.
Good story, mate. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Callum, your story. Yours is dead interesting, mate. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, so I just caught it. The mute. Yeah, so again, I wanted to keep it away from Corona, and you can't get too much further away than the sun. So, not the newspaper like last week. Yeah, so we've managed to take, as the human race, I'll say, actually pictures of the sun in areas that we've never been able to picture before. I found this article just today, actually. Really, really interesting. So, we've managed to picture ultra HD individual blades of kind of plasma that are coming out, and they've worked out that it's electrified and all sorts of stuff. But it was a really, really interesting article. I believe it was done in partnership with NASA and the University of Lancaster or Lancashire, or something like that.
Lancaster,
and it's a really interesting article, and the pictures that they managed to get from it are absolutely stunning and beautiful.
There's an interesting part here. If you look at this this picture, you can see these strands here on the top right-hand corner. And then you scroll down, it shows you the section that was taken from of the sun. And you're like, oh, okay, that's pretty big then. And then it says the individual strands that you saw are 500 kilometers thick.
That's bigger than the UK, right?
Yeah. Well, not width-wise it is, but not length.
Wider. Yeah. Okay.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish. Ish. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty big.
Really big.
Don't you get the Earth inside the Moon, the Sun 400 plus times or something, or 4,000 times or something? It's an enormous amount. The Sun is incredibly big.
Yeah.
That picture there, I've always wanted to take that picture from my back garden. And when we had the eclipse, I bought an ND1000 filter so that I could take a picture of it. And then after the eclipse had gone, we had a transit of Mercury, I think. So I took a picture of that. using it, and I was like, oh, I've got good use out of this. This is well worth it. I want to figure out what I can add to it to take those, and you can't. You've just got so, you need powered ultraviolet filters to start getting stuff into sequence, into various frequencies to try and get the corona. It's just it's a really difficult process and really expensive process. So.
Mm.
Or a rocket, which is what they've used here, I believe.
Well, no, I wasn't presuming, yeah.
I think that's a little bit out of Ewan's price range.
Well,
and back garden probably.
If the century stuff takes off, me and Elon might do it together. Okay.
Good idea.
You know what? Just go on Amazon, have them deliver a rocket. I'm sure they're available on Prime.
Yeah, SpaceX, space maybe, rocket. Yeah. Some assembly required.
Yeah.
I can feel I'm in rockets coming up.
Excellent, mate. Oh, that good gosh. Story. We're doing some really cool stuff in space at the moment. NASA has really got it, and I hate Trump. I think he's a dick, but he's boosted the budgets in NASA, so he can't be all bad. There is a redeeming feature.
He
in
can
that.
Be all or, bad.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was the people in Congress. I mean, he doesn't do anything for the budget. Like,
no, I think he was the one that lobbied for that. He's going to do a in this decade and the other. Things on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You watch. We want to put a manned lander on Mars for a free return trajectory to Mars by the end of the decade. I bet you there's a speech coming where he's going to commit to a free return trajectory with manned spaceflight around Mars.
Mm.
I mean, I wanted to kind of mention off the kind of article last week. I'm not sure who put it in. I think it was Patrice, actually, where, you know, in my lifetime, I've never seen, other than the ISS, I've never seen us go into space, land on the moon, put a man on the moon. I've seen Mars rover stuff.
Well, you and 5 billion other people, mate, you know, don't make out like you're an exclusive group and you're hard done by.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I was only 2.5, I think, so.
Yeah, that's more than I saw, so there you go. No, but... I'd really love to see us land on the moon again or go to Mars or something like that. I think it'd be really, really interesting and really momentous as well. So, space interests me a lot. So,
I don't think you'll put a man on Mars in my kids' lifetimes, but you'll certainly put men back on the moon, hopefully in my lifetime again. Mm. I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the sun stuff too. I mean, it is super difficult to do anything, like any research with the sun, because... I mean, one, it's big, and two, it's super hot. Like, anything you send there has to withstand, like, crazy conditions. And, like...
And it's fairly far away as well, which doesn't...
And it's super, fairly far away, too. Yeah, that's true.
What are we talking about? It's fairly far away? The sun?
The sun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
94 million miles.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Fairly.
It's only one corner, astronomical unit away.
Yeah, exactly. It's around the corner.
I've told this story before, but I'll say it again. Ellis and I, when he was at, they did a thing with apples and oranges and stuff like that in the field about the size of the solar system, and it was cute. But when I came back, we were talking about. He said the solar system. I said it's bigger than you've just done there, son. That's not even close. So he said, well, go on then. What should we do? And I said, right. So we've got a 10-foot swimming pool in the back garden that year in the summer. And I said, right, if this was the sun and it was a 3-meter globe in our back garden, here's where everything would be. And I'd come in and I'd sat down and done all the factors of how big it would be and that kind of stuff. And I'd started with this idea of 10 feet because he could look at the swimming pool, so it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, so where's, he said, how big's Mercury? I said, right, if it's a 10-foot swimming pool, Mercury is the size of your little fingernail. And he's looking at it like, that's really tiny. I'm like, yeah. And he said, so where do you think it is? And he said, oh, the flower bed over there. No, it's nearly a mile away. near where grandma and grandpa live. Oh, right, okay. So where's Venus then? And Venus is a 2-pence piece. And it's where he goes to school. Earth is a 2-pence piece, or 10-pence piece, vice versa. And it's at the rugby club that he was playing at, which was 3.5 miles away. And we got down to Pluto, and he's like, where's Pluto? And I said, it's the same size as your little fingernail again. He goes, well, where's that then? It's in Luton where Nanny lives. And he was, the look on his face was just, I can't even, and I'd got to the stage where I was doing the figures, I just couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't, the size is just unbelievably big.
Almost.
It is. Good story, mate. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Hosts. They are superb, and we've had a great thing this week because someone put in the chat room, someone was questioning about what they could and couldn't do and would TSO Host be a good choice. And Batwench said, yeah, their customer service is brilliant. And Martin backed up and said, yeah, absolutely, love TSO Host. We've swapped everything over to them and they're brilliant. And I was like, guys, you've got to get out on the socials and talk about this stuff. And so they did. And that's it. If you've got a really cool story to say about the level of service that you've got from TSO Hosts or the quality of services that you've got, get yourself on the socials, because you giving them that name check and giving a tie back to BTN is what gets us staying on the air. We will lose everything if we lose the servers. They've got all of our data, all of our shows, all of the stuff is backed up there, and they're fantastic. But if they pull the plug, we can't afford the bandwidth. We don't take anywhere near enough for that. So please get out on the socials. All you've got to do is brand recognition. Thanks, TSO Host, for supporting Outbridge Tech, and we stay up and running. And the other people are iMen Max. Callum comes from iMen Max. They've got Mo and Joe there as well. They're not repairing at the moment because of COVID, but they are selling refurbished machines. And this week, Cal, you said...
Yes, we have a very nice 13-inch MacBook Pro with Core i7, so nicely spec machine. We've got plenty of stock in, so if you are struggling to get hold of stuff, head over to our website on max.com. You do get 5% off as well.
Yeah, mention BTN. Always mention BTN.
Yeah, mention BTN and you'll get nice things. So, head over to the website. If you've got any questions, get in touch with us, and we'll do the best we can to help you all.
Cheers, mate. And thanks to them for their support, because, again, we'd be struggling with that. Superb. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jeffrey.
I want just straight up fun. This is a new Lego kit that... and I have a follow-up cool thing to go along with this. So this is a new Lego kit that came out just a couple weeks ago, and it's a Lego pirate kit where you get to build the whole pirate cove where the pirates live, and the bricks that it comes with. It also has instructions on how to build the whole pirate ship if you want to do that instead. And it's a really cool kit. The price per brick is actually really good, because this is a $200 kit, and it has over 2,500 pieces in the kit. So that means you're paying less than a dime a brick, which dime a brick is that's what you expect to see for price. So it's a good price, and it's a really cool looking kit, and it has just a lot of fun details in it, and it has enough pieces that you could buy this, and you can build the things that are in the instructions, but you have so many pieces, you have a lot of flexibility in making a ton of other cool stuff too.
The sad thing is, when you click the link, it's obviously geo-protected, because I get nothing.
Really?
In the UK, yeah, it's US only.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Okay, well, then here's one that you should be able to click. And this is just fracking brilliant. And these are the instructions on how to make bacon shot glasses with chocolate lining so that you can enjoy your bourbon in style.
I've got to say, I'll bow to your greater knowledge here, Jeff, but nothing you've just described appeals. Bacon-wrapped chocolate with cream in the center.
No, you put whiskey in the middle.
Whiskey in the middle, right.
Yeah,
everything gets better with bacon. I totally subscribe to that, but...
Bacon shot glasses.
Bacon chocolate shot glasses. I'll certainly try one.
Yeah, I need to find a little mold that I can use to shape my bacon around, and yeah, I'm going to try making bacon shot glasses.
Oh, apparently we've got another link from Batwinch here. She said that she's found the has she found it?
She did.
Why is and, she showing in one chat room and not in the other? That's a bit weird.
Yeah, interesting. I can look at the...
Look, I'm still going to this page. It's not letting me in. Maybe they know I'll buy it, so I've got a... I've subconsciously at night time set up a thing to stop me buying on the Lego.
Yeah, I can look at the US and the GB site.
No, I can't. Okay, never mind.
Strange.
It's a really cool kit.
Yeah. Oh, click on explore. No, it came up for a second and then it buggered off. Here it is, it's back.
Yeah, so if you can get to the ideas group or section, it'll show up in there.
$179.99 in the UK. Okay, that's quite big. Very good. I really wish I was into my Lego more, because it is kind of cool, but I'd be broke equally, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can appreciate your concern.
You know you've got it.
This will be in my Lego collection at some point, as will the treehouse. Have you ever seen that? It's a really cool kit. It comes with two sets of leaves, so you can do green leaves for the summer and then yellow and orange for the fall.
And you just take it off in winter, do you? Just remove all the leaves and store them.
Sure.
Cool. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a really boring one, unlike Jeff's Lego. So I've tried to make it not Mac, but sort of a bit Mac, because that's what I do.
Yeah,
so it's a program called HFS Explorer that works on Windows, and it basically enables you to read Mac partitions from Windows. So it's a free tool. It's one I've used for many, many years. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So does what it says on the tin.
That's a good pick.
Really handy little tool that I use day in, day out. So, yeah.
Is it free?
Free, yeah. Completely free.
Nice.
Excellent. Good one. Chris? What have you got?
All right, so my pick is around barbecuing, of course.
Good man.
And unfortunately, I can't find it on Amazon UK, but it looks like you can order it directly from their site.
Okay.
And my pick is the Bison Air Lighter. And this thing is awesome. So let me explain a little bit. So typically when you light a charcoal grill or a smoker, you want to stay away from like lighter fluid, because a lot of times that fuel can get into the taste of your meat,
yeah,
or whatever it is you're cooking. So you want to stay away from it. Now, for me, because I have a grate, I have a what they call a gravity-fed smoker. So I pour the charcoal in the top, and it falls down, and it sits on a grate. And so I can't get some of the traditional charcoal lighters in there because the grate is blocking me. So, and those traditional ones just heat up and you stick it right into the charcoal, or the ones that have a blower, it heats up and you stick it in the charcoal and you turn the blower on. So what I like about this Bison is it actually has a flame. So even though I have the grate there, with me being able to light this thing and use the actual flame to hit the charcoal, then I can light it without issue. So it's just a real one click, turns on, flame comes out. You want to hit the charcoal with the blue part of the flame, of course. And it only takes about a minute to get a couple pieces of charcoal hot enough. And then once you get it hot enough, then you can pull down on the trigger and initiate the fan. And once you initiate the fan, you start blowing that charcoal that you lit, and then that allows it to light much faster.
Nice.
So it really spits. Like, I just lit my smoker. Today is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, honey. And I got some ribs on the smoker for her. We're going to do a barbecue tonight. So when I lit the smoker, I literally hit it for like a minute, with the thing with the flame, turn the blower on, heat up the charcoal, shut the door, and let my temperature controls on my smoker take over. And just like that, I was done. And this thing was up to temperature within a few minutes. So I really love this thing. I was hoping it'll work because I had bought the other one before, but because I couldn't make direct contact with the charcoal with it, I had to return. It was like the loop lighter. So this
we've
thing
got
worked
a
really
similar
well.
One, if not.
Is that
the
520?
Yes.
Okay, so the 420 is £72.99 from wayfair.co.uk in the UK.
Yeah, so, and I think you'd be fine. I think the 520 just offers more more fuel that you can put into it. I like the fact that it has adjust the handle is adjustable, so you can, you know, use the thing straight, or you can adjust the handle down to use it like this. It has a bottle opener at the bottom, so if you want to crack that beer bottle open. It's chargeable via USB, so you just plug in the included USB cord, you plug it in down the side and just let it charge, and then you can refill the fuel down at the bottom. Cool. Thing is awesome. Worked exactly how I wanted it.
520 not available on Amazon in the UK, so you're stuffed.
Yeah. But get the 420, you'd be just as fine.
There we go. But it's £72.
Yeah.
Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, so I got another podcast for you. I don't know whether I've ever talked about it, but I'm the biggest fangirl of Scrubs, the TV show. Like, I think it's almost exactly 20 years old at this point.
Wow.
Jesus. I think, yeah, something like that. Like, it has been around for a long time. All right. I mean, not anymore. Anyhow, the two main, I wouldn't say the two main characters, or at least like part of the ensemble, Zach Braff and Donald Faison, they started a rewatch podcast the other week. It came out of, I think, an idea that they already had, and then coronavirus bore them. But they started a rewatch podcast, so they're going to rewatch the entire show, including the dreaded last season. The extra season that they did. And they're going to talk about like their experience, what they remember. Like they talked about a little bit about the casting in the first episode and simply like talk about the story, like rewatch it, talk about the story, talk about what they noticed, what they remember. I mean, they've been working on this like for 8 years, so they don't remember every detail or everything, but there are certain things that stick out where they're like, for example, they talked about the character of Dr. Cox, and they were like, the actor is like, it's kind of him, but in the nicest way. Like, I mean, he's kind of a jerk in the show, but he's super, super nice in real life, but it's still him. And stuff like that, or how it happened that certain characters actually stayed in the show. Like, I mean, the janitor that was supposed to be there for like a couple episodes and then disappear, and they kept him because he was so good. Stuff like that. So it's like a really, really interesting podcast. I've listened to the first episode. I'm really looking forward to the second one that actually came out, I think, yesterday. And I'm going to rewatch it. I mean, I rewatch Scrubs, I want to say twice a year, maybe, and have been rewatching it twice a year for like the last probably almost 20 years now. it's such a good show. Like, gets me every time. Like, I always cry at the end, like the last episode, always, like, just gets me. So highly recommend it. The podcast is called Fake Doctors, Real Friends, which is, cool. Like, I think a pretty good description of those two.
Yeah, no, I always enjoyed Scrubs, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really
good. It's just a fun show. I mean, it's good. But it's also fun and lighthearted. It deals with some real stuff, but for the most part, it's just lighthearted fun.
Excellent. Good, cool thing, mate. Thank you. Oh,
that's very cool.
My cool thing is actually something pretty simple. We've done some macro photography this week, and in the Slack room, we've been setting some little photo challenges each week, and this week was macro. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing about macro is the fact that of getting the focus point right, because it's such a narrow depth of field. So a lot of people will try and pick the camera up and hold it. The one thing I gave as a piece of advice to one of the questions in the photo show was, don't do that. Put the item that you want to put on something that's got some friction, but not too highly friction that you can't move it. And then you set the camera up on a tripod and move the subject back and forth, because it's far easier and far more stable. And I've got one of these little third arm things here. It's just a connection of little joints that you put together like the Joby stuff. And on the end, there's a little crocodile clip. And it's absolutely superb. That only cost me about £12 from Amazon. The exact one that I bought, this one, is actually currently unavailable. But there's ones that are similar to this if you scroll down the page. Third arms are absolutely essential. And they're brilliant for macro photography. Just perfect to hold something together. Or especially if you want like an electrical spark or something like that. Really, really good because it's insulated. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
You can get a hold of me at textexpander.com, GeekGammon on Twitter and Instagram, and you can hang out with me in the webinars that I do, textexpander.com/webinar. And just, like, show up on random shows, and you'll probably see me.
Yeah.
Kind of get around.
Good man. And if you like Text Expander, then BTN 2020 gets you 20% off. And you also get a personal tutor in the form of Jeffrey.
That's right. You know right where to find me.
It's ideal. Callum, where would you be?
So you can get hold of us at IMMMax on Twitter, all the usual socials. If you want to drop us an email, you can at info@IMMMax. I'm at O-R at Callum on Twitter. So you're more than welcome to reach out to me or send any questions.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Chris, where would you be?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. You want to check out, I'm putting some pretty cool Instagram videos up. Check me out at Big Ashley, I think is on Instagram. Some of my workouts are on there. And then, of course, check out me and my homies every week at the SMR Podcast. Check us out at smrpodcast.com. Could talk about anything on any episode.
Excellent, mate.
But mostly tech.
Yeah, good. Thanks, man. And last but by no means least, Patrice.
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show. I literally this week released a new podcast with the first episode with Doc Rock. The podcast is called The Foodie Flashback, Foodie Flashback, Food and Memories. And it's about like the food stories you might have, how you grew up, what your favorite food is and why, like any stories, any memories that might be attached to that. So if you're interested, go to foodieflashback.com. And if you want to join an episode, if you've got anything to tell, even if you're not a foodie, doesn't matter. If you got a story to tell or multiple stories, then you just want to talk to me. Then just reach out to me on Twitter at foodieflashback or go to thepatrice.com where you will find everything I do.
Excellent, mate. And I'll be on tomorrow talking about my grandma's trifle. There we go. I might throw in a few Yorkshire puddings as well because she was pretty good at those. my name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech and you can follow my Instagram at 12 Space Media if you'd like to on Instagram. I don't post that many photos, but it's worth following. We'll be back again next week, normal time. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay indoors. Thanks for listening.